right. Well, thank you for joining today's webinar. This is the Cybersecurity Threats and Challenges to SAP Systems Public Webinar, hosted by SAP Insider and presented by Onapsis, Rubrik, and Splunk. I'm Robert Holland from SAP Insider, and I'm your speaker today. The webinar is designed to be interactive, so I do invite you to submit your questions using the Q&A button at the bottom of the Zoom window. I will answer your questions if I can work them sort of into what I'm talking about. It's possible that if I don't necessarily have specific insight immediately on the question, or I have to sort of think about it a little too much, I might get back to you with some more information on that question, because we don't want to. There's a lot of stuff to cover, and it's probably going to take most of the hour to do that. But I mean, for those of you who are attending, you can download a copy of the report off the SAP Insider website. Just go to SAP Insider online, sorry, sapinsider.org, and you'll be able to go to the research reports section. And this report will be pretty close to the top of the list, if it's not at the top of the list when you look. And you can download a copy of both the detailed findings, which is this presentation that I'm going through here, as well as the executive summary, which is where we talk about some specific questions. So why don't we get on with the presentation? So basically, this is the research that we did, and this is research that SAP Insider has done over the last 2 to 3 years. I think actually this might be the fourth year we've done this consecutive research. I think we started in 2021, so 2021, 22, 23, 24. And it's really sort of asking our community about the cybersecurity threats that are impacting their SAP systems. I mean, as we all know from reading the news and from paying attention to everything that's going on, cybersecurity is an ongoing issue for organizations of all sizes. It doesn't matter whether you're a very large organization or a small organization. You've been likely to, or the possibility of you being subject to an attack continues to rise. And threat actors are just as likely to be going after small organizations today as they are large ones. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we have the sort of situations that, you know, we have where an organization reports an exploit that has happened. I mean, for example, you know, AT&T recently reported that the vast majority of their customers had data exposed. But, you know, regardless of your organization size, this is a critical topic. And our goal in doing this research is to really sort of ask the players at organizations in the SAP space, you know, what it is that it's most important to them. Now, as you can sort of see, we do have a global community. Quite a few of the respondents to this survey came from North America. In fact, you know, getting on towards two-thirds, not quite, you know, but certainly more than half. That's a little higher than we would sometimes see for research, where, you know, we sort of see a more even split between North America, perhaps in the, you know, 40 odd percent range, and EMEA that might have in the 35-36% range. So, you know, but, you know, we did have respondents from around the globe responding to the survey. There were 173 responses, and they came from organizations of all sizes. Now, we do ask organizations to sort of categorize their size simply so that we can do some sort of comparisons along organizational size. And you'll see a couple of questions in the research where I have done that. You know, in this particular example, about 38% of organizations came, sorry, 38% of respondents came from organizations that had revenues over 2 billion annually in value. Now, these are what SAP would categorize as large enterprise. And those, you know, those who had you know, smaller revenue numbers. So that was like 59% of the respondents. I think if I did the numbers correctly there, We're from organizations that SAP would consider a small or medium enterprise. But this just sort of expresses just how important this topic is to organizations of all sizes. Respondents came from a number of different organization types. I mean, as you can see, we ask respondents to sort of indicate the market sector that their organization is in. It sort of starts off, and we have, we have re respondents from all different areas, software and technology, in the industrial sector, public sector, financial services, retail distribution. So pretty much anywhere that, every sort of part of the base that SAP sells into, we do have respondents. Even if some of those groups are have relatively small number of respondents, they are there. And then, for the roles, when we plan the survey, we sort of try to understand which people in an organization will have the most insight on the questions that we're asking. And we sort of try and specify, for example, we identify security teams, we identify SAP teams, IT teams, so people in different roles at these organizations. And as you can see, IT management was the largest respondent group, just ahead of SAP teams. But we also had security teams, IT operations teams, and a good percentage identifying themselves as being from other parts of the organization. So, something that we've asked people, and the reason the chart doesn't show more than the last 2 years of data is because we actually added a number of different answer choices last year, and that sort of skewed the numbers a little bit, because I think we asked people to rank a series of threats. So 14 different threats, and we asked them to rank them on a scale of most important to least important. And I think last year we added about 5 or 6 additional potential threats, including things like insider threats, a skills gap. And so, the numbers from 2022 were quite a bit different, because the average was being calculated, based on the average. There's a couple of questions there. Sorry, I was a bit distracted for a second. The average is sort of being calculated based around a smaller number of potential threats. So, for the last 2 years, we've had the same number of threats. Last year, ransomware attacks was at the top of the list, and it actually didn't change in terms of the average. It didn't change in terms of the average from last year. But what did happen is that unpatched systems, which had been, rated the second most likely potential challenge to SAP systems, reached the top of the list. So slightly more people rated it as the biggest threat than rated ransomware attacks on SAP systems. And I think, given that many attacks on SAP systems, and there's a question here about whether these attacks are specific to on-premise or cloud-based SAP systems, and we didn't actually ask people we didn't actually ask people, whether they were ranking, whether they were ranking attacks to on-premise or cloud-based systems. There are a couple of questions later in the survey that sort of get into a little bit about more about, the expectations when it comes to cloud research, and cloud security rather, and cloud environments. But what is sort of notable here is, for the fact that, although unpatched systems is at the top of the list, for larger organizations, unpatched systems was a significantly bigger challenge, actually 9.43. So that's out of the 14 that we asked people to rank, followed by data exfiltration, 8.43, and weak access controls, 8.34. Whereas for smaller organizations, so those with revenues under $2 billion annually, the top threat was ransomware attacks at 9.4, followed by unpatched systems, 8.82, and credentials compromised, 8.44. So, and this sort of, goes to sort of explain the, well, not sort of explain, but it's sort of, it makes sense given that larger organizations typically have more SAP environments within their organization. And keeping up with patching is a much greater challenge for them than for an organization that might only have a relatively small number of SAP environments, in their within their enterprise. Similarly, a larger organization might be more is obviously more concerned, or larger respondents from larger organizations are obviously more concerned about data exfiltration, and weak access controls. One of the things that changed, particularly, over the last few years is, in particularly in large companies, whereas the approval process for, for some systems might have involved multiple people, with people going remote, with roles changing, with no people no longer being able to walk down the corridor and perhaps talk to someone as they had done in the past as part of a workflow approvals process. Access controls were expanded in order to streamline approvals processes, in order to make sure things happened. And that has sort of resulted in obviously some concerns for these larger organizations. They're more likely to be concerned about weak access controls. But also, as you move to SAP S/4HANA, things like access controls do change because SAP is using, different access controls in SAP S/4HANA than they did in SAP ECC. There's different tables, there's different, front ends, for example, Fiori as against SAP GUI. And that means that organizations may have to change their access controls to accommodate some of the new system setup. Whereas smaller organizations, obviously things like data exfiltration and weak access controls are less likely to be a threat. But yeah, I mean, I think that I think that these what these threats are, and there's a comment here or a question here about, how this potentially seems to be, a perfect sort of scenario for threat analysis and detailed investigation, including root cause analysis, this sort of thing. And I think that is definitely something that organizations can leverage as they're looking to protect their SAP systems. And we actually get into some of that a little bit in terms of, what people are doing with monitoring data and the types of data they're monitoring and what they're using it for, later in the, later in the report. Okay. So, we've talked about the fact that, unpatched systems, ransomware attacks, they're the top threats for large and small organizations. What is driving cybersecurity strategy? So this is something that we attempt to answer in all the SAP Insider research that we do, because we ask people questions around their drivers, actions, requirements, and technologies. And I'll talk a little bit more about the DART in a second. But what's driving strategy? So this is the big picture stuff. It could be internal, it could be external. It could be things, for example, if you're talking about ERP strategy, one of the biggest factors driving ERP strategy is upcoming end of maintenance of SAP Business Suite core solutions, right? So that's something that's coming from outside the organization, because SAP has set that date and SAP customers have to follow it. Excuse me. Pressure to something like pressure to keep costs, reduce costs, or perhaps keep systems online might be something coming from inside the organization. So in this particular example, keeping systems secure from ransomware and malware attacks was at the top of the list this year in terms of the factors that are driving cybersecurity strategy. So these are the big picture factors. They're the drive. They're things that people are reacting to as they plan their cybersecurity strategy. So, and then right behind that, and this is something that's actually been at the top of the list for the last few years, is the need to protect access to sensitive and confidential data in SAP systems. And if we actually look at, you know, organizational size for some of these answers, the need to protect access to data in SAP systems is very much at the top of the list for larger organizations. So the larger the organization, the more important it is to protect the data in those SAP systems. You know, smaller organizations, you know, as we sort of saw, protecting from ransomware and malware attacks was the top threat they perceived to their SAP systems, and this is what's driving their cybersecurity strategy. But it's also, you know, as I indicated, keeping systems online, keeping systems up and running, is, you know, very much behind the cybersecurity strategy, you know, for SAP. You know, driving the cybersecurity strategy for SAP systems. So, you know, what are the challenges that people face with securing their systems? We talked about, you know, what they perceive as the biggest threats. We asked them to rank them, and we sort of said, well, which are the challenges? What challenges do you actually face? And we asked people to sort of select, you know, all those that apply from the list. You know, so keeping up with patches and updates continues to be a major challenge. And this is, you know, sort of speaks to the fact that unpatched systems is right at the top of the list for organizations that are, you know, right at the top of the list for organizations that are, you know, from a cybersecurity threat perspective. So keeping up with patches and updates, that sort of was at the top of the list last year too. Securing custom code has increased in importance this year, I think, as more people realize that there is quite a lot of, you know, custom code within their organization that they need to do something about. Protecting data, threat detection. That's actually dropped in importance from a couple of years back, 2022. My guess is because people have actually started rolling out more threat detection tools within their organization. So, you know, I think that you know, I think that, you know, threat detection is, you know, right at the top of the list, or at least, sorry, that more people have threat detection systems in place, and that's why it's dropped a little bit in importance from, you know, 2 years ago, which is when it was, you know, when we sort of asked this question in 2022. But I mean, password sharing and misuse has sort of jumped in importance this year. Secure application development has more than doubled in importance this year. We added securing cloud-based solutions to the list. So, you know, those are some of the different challenges that are faced in securing SAP systems. I do see questions coming in here. Yeah, I guess that's a good question. Please explain how ransomware and malware threats are related to SAP. Aren't they generic, targeting all applications? Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, ransomware and malware attacks, you know, are threats that are impacting all systems. And in fact, in many instances, you know, the customers I've spoken to have sort of indicated that ransomware and malware attacks aren't necessarily directly impacting SAP systems all the time. Often the SAP systems are more indirectly impacted. So, for example, there is a ransomware attack on the organization, and maybe, you know, as has been the case at a number of different organizations, the SAP systems have had to be taken offline to prevent cross-contamination. But even if that's the case, you know, that is a major impact, because many of these SAP systems are never offline. And organizations, you know, apart from planned downtime for patching, don't always have a recovery plan, you know, if the system has to be offline for more than a relatively short period of time. Even, you know, planned downtime can be difficult to find for a global organization that is operating in many countries, because weekends, for example, can be weekdays if you're in the Middle East, because Sunday is a normal work day in many parts of the many countries in the Middle East. And you have users that are around the world, accessing systems at different times of the day, which means that it can be a challenge to find the right time to take down a system. And if you have to take down an SAP system for multiple days while, a ransomware or malware attack in another part of the organization is dealt with, this can cost, huge amounts of data because SAP systems are sort of required to the, they're instrumental to the running of the business. So, although ransomware and malware attacks, aren't necessarily, although I have heard of some cases recently where they are directly impacting SAP systems, they can be just as impactful on an organization, even if they're not directly impacting an SAP system, because everything's networked together and, you want to make sure that there's no cross-contamination. So that's often where, I've seen or heard about, some of the different things impacting, SAP systems. So sort of moving on to, we asked the question in the previous slide, what are the challenges faced in securing SAP systems and keeping up with patches and updates was at the top of the list. So for those respondents that indicated that keeping up with patches and updates was at the top of the list, we asked, well, what's the problem? What are the challenges you're facing there? So this was about half the survey respondents, because 48% of respondents said that was a challenge for them. 53% said it's difficulty scheduling downtime. As I sort of said, for large organizations, it can be very difficult to find downtime. But competing business priorities. Business teams want the system available 24 by 7, 365, and that's not necessarily possible if you need to be applying patches. There's maybe limited resources with applying patches. There's the volume of patches that need to be applied. SAP is continually rolling out new patches. But I mean, there's also a reluctance to apply patches that could potentially have an impact on system availability. Because if you apply a patch and then something happens and it takes longer to get the system back up online, that can have a significant impact on, your organization and can have a significant cost to the organization. And then, we ask a question here, and there's going to be sort of a follow-on to it later in the survey. But what are people's concerns with using cloud-based solutions from a security perspective? And particularly SAP solutions, I think, is how we ask the question. But I mean, I think that, because we asked the question here, what are the concerns you have with using cloud-based systems, and then what ones actually, you actually saw impact your organization? That's the later question that we get to. Top of the list was because, I mean, SAP is all about the cloud today. It's impossible to, have a conversation with SAP without talking about the cloud and subscription-based licensing. Although SAP simply counts the cloud as anything that's subscription-based licensing, it's not necessarily things that are in a cloud environment. But I mean, concern around SLAs, insufficient visibility into where cloud data is resides and is processed. And you can see here on this chart, because rather than multiple years of data, I've actually included whether the proportion of large respondents from larger organizations or smaller organizations that indicated that this was a challenge. So smaller organizations, for example, their biggest concern was SLAs. For larger organizations, that was a concern, but their biggest concern was insufficient visibility into where cloud data resides and is processed, right? This whole data residency, data sovereignty question. Because I mean, if you're a small organization, you might only be working in one region. And, if you deploy to the cloud, you're only hosted in one data center. If you're a large organization, you might have employees in multiple regions accessing the data and able to, looking and having a concern over where the data resides, where it's being processed, particularly if you have to meet EMEA guidelines around, data sovereignty, data residency, this can be a challenge. Unauthorized access to sensitive data by other cloud tenants was more of a concern for smaller organizations than for larger organizations. Unauthorized external access was very similar, similarly problematic for large and small organizations. A skill gap, large organizations saw less of that. Smaller organizations saw more. And poorly configured or insecure interfaces was much more of a concern for larger organizations than smaller organizations, because larger organizations have more connection points. I know there's a lot of stuff here to go through, and we have a lot to cover. So in terms of the DART model framework, as I sort of said, drivers are the high level things that are impacting an organization when it comes to their cybersecurity strategy. Actions are what steps the organization is taking to address those drivers. So for example, a need to protect access to sensitive and confidential data in SAP systems. Maybe you're training end users to protect them against social engineering attacks. You're regularly implementing patches and updates. These are things, and you're conducting regular audits and security assessments. These are all things that will help protect the data in your SAP systems, right? So drivers of the high level things impacting your organization could be internal or external. Actions is the strategies you're putting into place to support, to address those concerns or those drivers. Requirements are the people, process, and technology requirements you have to meet to actually take the actions that you have planned. And then technologies are the technologies are the technologies that you're using on the back end to support those requirements. If we look at, we already talked about the drivers. We talked about pressure to keep systems secure from ransomware attacks, protecting data in systems, keeping systems online. What are the actions that people are taking to support those strategies? Training end users is at the top of the list this year. Just behind that is implementing patches and updates. I think both of them help organizations. And when we ask people about the drivers, we ask them to pick their top two. When we ask about strategies or actions, we ask them to select their top three. So conducting regular audits and security assessments is, right there at the top of the list from an action that people are taking. And, this is where having a greater insight into your system through SIEM tools and that sort of thing can have a definite impact on, on what you're on your system security and on what you're doing. Sorry, I changed a slide there. I didn't mean to. Integrating SAP system data into security operations, things like ITSM, SIEM, SOC, playbook, right? So that's more important this year than it was last year. So you can actually have a central repository where you can sort of look at security data across your organization, including your SAP systems, implementing automated monitoring and compliance tools, things that will help you identify, when there is a, when there potentially is a problem and alert you to that fact, deploying tools that will better protect cloud-based solutions, with more and more enterprise workloads moving to the cloud, this is a major factor, implementing DevSecOps best practices, and then some other more, perhaps less important to the, from a, in terms of prioritization perspective, but no less important in terms of the impact that they're potentially having on systems. And then sort of requirements, real-time monitoring and logging this year is at the top of the list. Fully patched and updated systems were at the top of the list last year, but I mean, that's sort of, it's trended down a little bit. I don't think it's hugely less important. It's just that some of these other areas are perhaps for the time being taking a higher importance. So real-time monitoring and logging, training and education programs for all users, that very much to connects to the need to train organizations, fully patched systems, safe password practices, specific cybersecurity protection for cloud-based systems. It's becoming more important as more systems, as I said, are in the cloud, consistent protection against cloud and across cloud and on-premise systems. Organizations don't necessarily want to have multiple security tools One for cloud environments, one for on-premise environments, one for hybrid environments. They want to have consistent protection across, multiple environments, compliance with data management requirements, protecting SAP systems from zero-day threats before patches are released. SAP has been pretty quick to get patches out on some of the major threats that they've had, but there's still a need for that. And cybersecurity tools that integrate with SAP and non-SAP systems. That means you don't have to have multiple sets of tools, depending, if you have both SAP and non-SAP systems. And then we talk about technologies. Now, unlike some of the previous questions, we actually ask people to sort of say, what are the technologies they're using today? We ask respondents to say, what are you using today? What are you deploying over the next 12 to 24 months? And what are you evaluating for use in the future? So, at the top of the list in terms of in use today is encrypted connectivity, continuous monitoring, data encryption. Nearly 60% of respondents are using all of those technologies today. Vulnerability management, nearly 50%. Security-driven networking, 43%. And then some of these other technologies are less in use today, but are growing in use, as you can see, over the last couple of years, like dynamic authorization and least privilege, code vulnerability analysis, application-aware network security. So continuous monitoring, I think, is super important for organizations, and this is why we're seeing, so many more, such a growth in it, over the last year or so. But of course, what that means is that when you're looking at what people are implementing, over the next 12 to 24 months, continuous monitoring is towards the bottom of the list simply because so many more people are using it today, just as encrypted and secure connectivity is. What people are implementing, zero trust models, automated code vulnerability testing tools, code vulnerability analysis, automated testing for compliance. So, I mean, if you look at this right at the top of the list, I mean, beyond zero trust models, which helps you protect all of the systems that are connected to a network, not just your SAP systems. There's a lot of focus on code and customization. So code, many SAP organizations with large SAP environments have tens of thousands of lines of customized code. Testing those for vulnerability is a huge process. So any sort of tool that helps you automatically do that or automate that process is going to be of significant value to you. Same for code vulnerability analysis, right? So you're looking, you're not, you know, you're going through and testing old code. You're also checking newly developed code to make sure that it is not vulnerable. And then testing for compliance. You have to make sure that, your entire systems are compliant with, vulnerability analysis. They're compliant with data sovereignty, whatever governmental compliant, regulations you have to comply with. You want to have something that will help you automate the testing for that compliance. So there's a lot of focus on that in terms of the technologies that people are implementing over the next 12 to 24 months. And then, what they're looking at for the future, and this is where, this is where technologies are being evaluated. At the top of the list is behavioral analytics. So this is where you're monitoring the behavior of users in a system and seeing if there's anything unusual. And that may indicate, that there's been some sort of compromise of the credentials related, to that account, to that user. Application-aware network security, zero trust models, threat intelligence feeds. These are all technologies that people are evaluating for use in the future. Something that is positive to see, and this is something that we've sort of seen a trend on over the last couple of years, is a reduction in the prevalence of the SAP team only having responsibility for managing security of SAP systems. As you can see in more than 60% of respondents now are sort of saying, it's the SAP team in combination with another team, whether that's a dedicated security team, whether that's an IT team. There's now SAP teams are now working, much more in conjunction with other teams in the organization, which means that SAP systems are more likely to be included in, overall security goals, rather than necessarily being separate. I mean, in the past, many SAP systems, the only sort of security you really implemented on them was access control and process control, right? Controlling access to the data in your SAP systems. And that was often managed directly by the SAP team. In fact, in many instances, the SAP systems were pretty much a black box for IT teams and dedicated security teams, because any patches, any updates, anything was just handed directly over to the SAP team. And, they were sort of told to, they then came back and said, yes, everything is okay. Now, there's much more interaction and involvement between SAP teams and other teams within the organization, and still in about 30% of cases, the SAP team isn't even potentially involved. It's an IT ops team or maybe even dedicated security team. Although that's sort of going down, and what we've sort of seen increase this year is that interaction with other teams across the organization. But I mean, just as important, in terms of who's managing the security of your SAP systems is who's managing the security of the solutions that you're moving to the cloud. And this is obviously going to include your SAP systems, because your SAP systems are some of the things that you are moving to the cloud. So there's an IT operations team, a dedicated security team, in this case, a cloud security operation team or cloud security architects. I think those are more likely to be found in larger organizations where there is there's the ability to create a dedicated team for cloud security operations as against just, security in general. And also cloud security architects are more likely to exist in larger organizations. This is good in terms of, there's a combination, but it also indicates where SAP teams have to work with, right? So as your SAP solutions move to the cloud, whether that's, something like, within the construct of RISE with SAP or something, similar to that, or you're simply moving to SAP SuccessFactors or Fieldglass or Concur, Ariba, or some other, SAP solution that is perhaps hosted in an SAP environment, or you're moving to something that is, interconnected with your SAP system that is hosted in, a public cloud provider, or some other cloud environment. For example, many SAP customers today use third-party CRM solutions, third-party HR solutions, and the interconnection between those and SAP systems is important to be managed, even if your SAP systems are not yet in the cloud. something that we wanted to sort of get a little bit of insight into in this year's research, is the number of cloud providers that are used for enterprise workloads, communication, security, integration, and other operations. And we sort of compared the results for all respondents versus larger organizations and smaller organizations. So, larger organizations were more likely to have more cloud providers in play. Interestingly, 10% of small organizations said they had as many as 7 to 10, different cloud providers, whereas only a small proportion of large organizations said that. They were more likely to have 4 to 6. But this could be because, 14% of them said they had at least 11 different cloud providers. But if you're using, for example, an application from Salesforce or an external CRM solution plus a third party HR provider, or some sort of integration, or alignment company, For example, a ServiceNow or UiPath or something like that, then, you're already adding multiple different cloud providers because they're running potentially in different cloud environments than your SAP systems are. You have SuccessFactors, Concur, Ariba, that's already another two or three different cloud environments because even though, it's probably within the framework of SAP, those solutions are not necessarily being, they're not necessarily connected to each other from a cloud perspective, right? They're in their own cloud environments and they're connected down into or connected into your environment, whether that's on-premise or in the cloud. The number of, providers in that are in play at some of these organizations, leads to increased complexity, from a cloud security standpoint. So, I mean, and this is where, we asked the question previously, and I'm going back here simply so that we can sort of see it. What are the concerns that you have with using cloud-based environments, right? And we sort of unable to meet SLAs, insufficient visibility into where the data resides and is processed, unauthorized access, unauthorized external access. And if we move forward to the sort of follow-up question, oops, one more. I'm back that we asked is, well, how many of those concerns were realized? And for many organizations, about a quarter, they said that none were. The fact that you have these concerns about about running in the cloud doesn't necessarily mean that those concerns are gonna, have an active, they're actually going to be realized within your organization because maybe you don't have any challenges with meeting SLAs or, anything like that, over the last over the last year. But I mean, something that, organizations did run into is that cloud services would be unavailable when they need them. So about, relatively similar numbers from organizations of different sizes, but 13% of respondents overall said cloud just wasn't up. Now, there can be various reasons for that. Not all of them are necessarily anything to do with your organization, but they're not there. A similar proportion of respondents, 13%, said there was a skill gap for cloud services and capabilities. Now, interestingly, even though larger organizations were less concerned about that skill gap, more of them, 16%, realized that as a challenge. So they had, an issue in the cloud and they didn't have the skills internally to address it. Similarly, insufficient visibility into, where data is processed, resides and processed, that was sort of second on the list before. And, it did turn into being a problem for 16% of respondents from large organizations, just 10% from smaller organizations. Unauthorized access to sensitive data. So, I mean, some of these things, some of these concerns were absolutely realized, by respondents, but at a much reduced level from where respondents expected them to be a challenge. And this is sort of, the difference here, right? Only about, and in many cases, it was less than half as many actually realized the challenge than were concerned about it in the first place. But that doesn't mean that those, concerns were misplaced. Right. Because I mean, the fact that you have a concern about a cloud skill gap and you didn't realize it doesn't mean that there isn't actually a concern there that you need to do something about. Even if 16% of large organizations did actually run into that, as a problem in what they were doing. Another question, and we have a couple of questions here around, the security expectations when it comes to cloud-based solutions. We asked respondents, well, what are your security expectations from cloud service providers? How are you going to manage that security? And, some of this obviously, has a difference depending on whether you're running software as a service solutions, infrastructure as a service solutions, platform as a service solutions. I mean, if you're running software as a service solutions, the provider is managing all of the security except for access to the system itself and what you have access to in the system, you know, once you have access to the system. you know, so that is definitely sorry, you know, so that definitely impacts the way people are answering these questions, I think. But about half the respondents, a little less, said that, you know, they're planning to manage the security of their cloud-based systems using internal teams, which is fine. You know, if you have the skills to do that and if you have the ability to do that, you know, that's great. But I mean, you know, that is something that you have to prepare for and make sure your teams, you know, have the skills necessary to do that. But a slightly increased number this year, 29%, said they need help with understanding, you know, what security is needed at different levels. And this is something that I think, you know, can be confusing for organizations because, I mean, you know, maybe it's due to a skills gap. Maybe it's due to having minimal experience with cloud-based environments, but having assistant, you know, knowing what to do where, you know, has a, you know, it obviously has an impact on organizations because they need help with that. And this is a, the, and this is something where, you know, organizations that are offering, you know, security capabilities and security solutions for SAP systems can have an impact. And then, you know, we sort of follow that up with another question. It's like, well, what about specifically for your cloud, SAP cloud offerings and solutions? You know, so last year we sort of asked the question, you know, the first question just in for cloud service providers in general, and what about for your SAP, you know, cloud offerings and solutions? You know, larger organizations were sort of more likely to want to use internal teams to manage security outside of software as a solution offerings. You know, we still saw a reasonable proportion of respondents saying that, you know, they do need help with understanding what security is needed for different solutions. I mean, and even though SAP, for example, you know, in the rise with SAP and grow with SAP context, they've actually mapped out a document which you can access that tells you who's responsible for what security in who's responsible for security in different parts of your RISE with SAP implementation. You know, but I mean, just because that document is there doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're able to find that document and make use of it, or even necessarily understand, you know, what that means for you and what you're doing. You know, but there also is, you know, a reasonable portion, 20, almost a quarter of the respondents here said they expected all their security to be managed by SAP, which is fine, maybe if you're running something like SuccessFactors, but not so much if you're, you know, running in a, on a, you know, HEC or something like that, which is a platform as a service environment where, you know, you are going to manage at least a proportion of the security yourself. Because it's the same as setting up, you know, an environment on a, you know, very similar to setting up an environment on a, in the public cloud, infrastructure as a service or something like that. But it's just a little more focused for SAP. You know, we also asked the question, has your organization been subject to an attack on a cloud provider, in the past year? You know, so this hasn't necessarily impacted your SAP system directly, but you know, it's where you know of, you know, one of your cloud providers being subject to an attack in the last year. You know, smaller organizations were more likely to say no, but also, you know, a little less likely to say that they didn't know. And then this is maybe simply where, you know, knowledge of the attack is better understood within the organization as a whole, because it's a smaller team. You know, in a larger organization, you know, there's more security teams, there's more IT folks. You know, teams may not necessarily be as, you know, aligned as they are in the past. Sorry, that's not true. That's, well, they may just not communicate as well. So when an attack occurs, someone from a different team may not necessarily be aware of it. And this is why I think larger organizations are more likely to say they sort of don't know whether an attack has taken place. But it's interesting that it's about 20%. It's almost the same percentage across organizations of all sizes that have sort of reported that yes, their organization has been subject to an attack on one of their cloud providers in the last year. And it simply shows the prevalence of these attacks and the impact they're having. I mean, even if your systems aren't directly impacted, even if, your SAP systems aren't directly impacted, attacks are increasing in frequency. Because one of the things we talked about, and we're getting towards getting closer towards the end of the survey questions here. One of the things we talked about at the beginning was continuous monitoring. Something that people were looking at in the future with behavioral analytics to analyze the performance of users in the system. And if you're going to do that, you need to have insight into what those users are doing. And so we sort of asked the question, well, are you currently logging user activity for your SAP system? So are you monitoring your SAP systems? We didn't necessarily sort of ask what you're doing. Well, we did ask in the next question sort of what you're doing with that data. But I mean, there is a growth this year. I mean, last year, two-thirds said it was minimal data only that they were logging. And 26% said it was complete data. This year, over a third say it's actually complete data on what users are doing in systems that they're logging. And this is probably coming out of a concern for the fact that, ransomware, malware, credentials compromise, these attacks are increasing on SAP systems. And, while ransomware and malware might be, problematic and the damage that they can do to an SAP system, maybe a credentials compromise or a data exfiltration is a bigger threat than a ransomware or malware attack, because if someone can gain access to an SAP system, these days it's very easy to Google, how to transfer bank funds from an SAP system. If you have access to a super user, maybe you can add an account to transfer the money to, and you can start a transfer, and you can then get access to money very quickly from an organization for which you've compromised their SAP system. You might be able to look at the data that's in an SAP system and utilize that against the organization. There might be PII that's available that you've got access to that you can then use and compromise and export data, et cetera. So, having an idea of what people are doing in systems, for many SAP systems can be more important perhaps than a ransomware or malware attack. But I mean, how are you using that data? How are you leveraging that data? For the biggest group, biggest respondent group, 44% said it's to support early detection of potential threats, right? So they're using the data to gain insight into what's happening in their SAP system so that they can potentially detect, they can detect potential threats earlier than they might have otherwise been the case. For about a third, it's to support compliance and real-time auditing. For 25%, just over, it's to provide real-time alerts to what's happening in your SAP system. And obviously, if you're monitoring this data, you need to do something. You need to do something with that data. You need to take it somewhere where you can actually analyze it. But I mean, 22% says to improve incident response. But about a quarter says that they're not leveraging their logged user activity data. So even though they are generating that data, because I mean, we sort of saw on the last slide that 13, 14% say they're just not logging data. And that's about the same number here. But 25% say, even though they are logging data, whether it's minimal data or comprehensive data, they're not doing anything with it. And this is something that is a potential gap, that is a potential challenge for organizations. You got to utilize the information that you have. So where are people planning investments from a security perspective, particularly when it comes to their SAP systems. Cloud security is at the top of the list. I mean, makes sense given that more and more workloads are moving to the cloud. But threat detection and response, vulnerability management, data security, zero trust. I mean, you can sort of see that, you know, these numbers aren't necessarily changing hugely from last year, although there certainly have been some increases. Threat detection response has gone up, you know, 6%. Vulnerability management, about 7%. Zero trust, you know, another 7%. You know, so there definitely are changes. And in most areas, it's increasing. It's only towards the bottom that we've sort of seen a decrease, you know, data masking, dynamic access controls, UI level data security. And it's possible because people aren't investing there because the people who, you know, did want to invest there have already put those tools into place. But I mean, there is an impact. There is an economic impact. You know, this year, you know, we've sort of, although, you know, it perhaps hasn't had the volatility that last year has had in the IT sector, particularly. But for many organizations, you know, there is, the current economic climate is having an impact. You know, a third of respondents say they're evaluating alternatives to their existing solution providers, right? Maybe they're consolidating, you know, to reduce costs. They're eliminating some solutions and trying to maximize the usage of ones they do have. Projects are on hold. 25%, 26% say they're scaling back planned investments. You know, there's even a security teams have been forced to reduce staff this year. Very similar percentages as last year. And a smaller proportion of respondents to say that, you know, despite the increased threat activity, you know, there is, that you know, there's actually a, there's less demand for, you know, or a smaller proportion are saying there's a greater demand for security despite everything, you know, increasing this year. But I mean, 26%, they're also saying there's no impact, which is a positive shift from last year. You know, we've only got a couple minutes left here and there are some questions, so I don't know if I can answer all of them, but, you know, we will, I'll do what I can here. What is needed to make an environment secure for SAP systems? Network security, database security, front-end security, encrypted data, secure interfaces and integration points. You know, those have all seen pretty much an increase from last year. You know, so there's definitely changes there in what people believe are needed to make their SAP systems secure. But I mean, I think, you know, security, network security, you know, and database security. I mean, it's about protecting the data once again in your SAP systems. That's where, you know, what's required. That's where people are sort of focusing. And I'll leave this slide up here. It's just a proportion of people that have sort of, you know, how many people have seen, you know, an attack that's directly impacted their SAP systems. So a little bit of a reduction this year, 23%, 20% and 20%, depending on whether it's a cybersecurity attack, a ransomware attack, or some sort of credentials compromise. But I mean, it is out there. Attacks are out there and they are directly impacting SAP systems. So, you know, I know that we're at top of the hour here, so I will try and answer a couple questions before we wrap up. The recording will be available in the next couple of days. You know, as soon as it's finished, we'll have someone process that. What is the impact of data privacy and protection regulation to log and monitor user activity specifically? I don't know the answer to that question. I write about what's sort of the trends in the space rather than specifically, you know, some of the having a specific knowledge into some of the technical questions here. But is CISO oriented towards SAP ERP security common now for large organizations? I think it is. I think there's a much greater orientation towards ERP. You know, I think it does also vary from organization to organization. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have. You know, I will try and follow up with some questions in the next few days if you had an additional question there. Thank you for attending today's webinar. Shortly after the event, You will get an email allowing you, telling you how you can access the presentation on demand. Like I said, it'll be in the next day or so. So on behalf of SAP Insider and our sponsors, Onapsis, Rubrik, and Splunk, thank you for your time and have a great day.